This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to the Hope Centre, where real stories meet real conversations about mental health, hope and growth. I'm Anna.
And I'm Omri. We're here to share, connect and remind you that you're not alone. Let's dive in.
Kia ora and welcome to the Hope Centre podcast, a project put together by Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust with the help of ORFM and Platinum Recruitment in Dunedin. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover or are interested in being a guest on the podcast, please reach out to us on our Facebook page or email admin@lifematters.org.nz. Kia ora, I'm Anna.
And I'm Omri.
We're both senior peer support workers at Life Matters and we'll be your hosts for this conversation about hope, healing and lived experience. Kia ora, welcome back to the Hope Centre podcast. I think it's nice to be back in the same room.
Getting back into the swing of things, like both being in the same room.
Yeah.
Time off and then either one of us away.
Yeah, exactly. And today we've got a very exciting episode. We're connecting with Colette Rhodes, a local mama, owner, author and owner of Dunedin's place of Happily Ever After, The Ink Pot. Hello, welcome to the Hope Centre podcast.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, we're super excited to connect today and talk about all things of your own journey, all things community. I think they're both really important aspects of the work that we do. So we're looking forward to get to know you a wee bit more and want to invite you to introduce yourself.
Sure. My name's Colette. I write under the pen name Colette Rhodes, but Colette is my real name. I have been writing romance, mostly in the sort of fantasy paranormal space, for 6 years now, thereabouts. And just this year, I opened an independent romance bookstore here in Dunedin called The Ink Pot. So I eat, live, breathe romance.
Amazing. Everybody's dream. I know that's mine at least. So we've got a question that was left by the last guest. And that is, in a zombie apocalypse, would you rather be turned into a zombie or succumb to the conditions of the apocalypse?
I definitely don't want to be a zombie.
Team,
whatever not zombie is.
Yeah.
Omri, do you have a...
I want to get bit straight away. Like, whatever's quickest. I don't think I have the stamina physically to keep running. And also, I don't know if y'all have ever seen shows like Hunted. Kind of the premise being game show, you're in teams of two with someone you know, and I've only watched the Australian version, but it's the Australian Special Forces or Australian Police then chasing you, and then if you can last 2 weeks, you get X amount of money. But watching that heightens my anxieties. Essentially, it's professional hide and seek. But I couldn't. I can barely watch it at times. I don't think I could be chased. Whatever's the quickest, whatever gets me out. Mm-hmm. And I'll come back after lunch.
I think that I would. I don't know if being bitten by a zombie is like the unpopular opinion, but I think that I would rather that because I hate, like, being on edge, like jump scares, those kind of things. And I think the sooner I've got that potential out of there, I will be happier. Well, I don't know if I'll be happier as a zombie. That's just assuming. Interesting. Right.
You're very good. And, so part of the reason having you on, Colette, is one, very exciting, but two, the journey of literature or words or books or worlds is really interesting with how different people perceive them or live in them. And I'm wondering if you, like, what from becoming a book reader, what inspired you to start your journey of becoming an author?
So I was a very avid reader as a teenager. And then I think a lot of people do, you kind of go to university, you start work and you have to read, textbooks and boring stuff. And it kind of like I just didn't read for fun for years and years. And then I had my daughter and we ended up moving to Coromandel. So I lived up north back then. It was a pretty small town, lot smaller than Dunedin. And I didn't know anybody. And I was at home with a 1-year-old. So I started reading just for company, you know, just
Like, she would only nap on me, so I'd hold her and I would just read books all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of my connection to the world at that time. I felt very isolated where I was. And I read over 500 books that year.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
All romance.
I think I've read like 50 this year. I can't even comprehend that.
I was a stay-at-home mom. Absolutely churning through books.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that year, I kind of said to myself, like, as a New Year's resolution, I'm going to try write a book. Like, I want to do something for myself outside of motherhood. This is a challenge I'm going to set for myself. And it kind of just took off immediately, to be honest.
Yeah. Amazing. How long did it take you to publish your first book?
3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. From like starting writing to like it just, the words just poured out.
Mm-hmm.
And I published that and then the world went into lockdown pretty much straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And people were taking a chance on new authors because everyone was stuck at home.
Amazing. Yeah. That's super cool. And I 100% agree. I think when you feel lonely and isolated, for whatever reason that may be, books are such a way to feel connected to characters and to worlds and realms. And I think it's super important. And I know a lot of people we support in the work that we do, that lack of connection to people is very present. And that is a really lovely way to feel connected when we may not be able to, whether it's lockdown or mental health or distance from people. So I really appreciate that. It's super cool.
And this is kind of leading on from the conversation of the last podcast. Asha, I guess, then was talking about when she reads, she can see everything around her. And when there like might be a word or a name that she's unsure how to pronounce, kind of the world feels like it's crumbling around and comes to that halt until she's got that before she goes back in. I'm someone who can't picture anything. And so like I really struggle to stay focused. I'm wondering when you are writing or reading what that world looks like for you.
I'm not somebody who visualizes at all. Like it's just
interesting.
Yeah. Like I feel like I'm in it. I don't know how to explain it, but like I can feel the emotions of being in it, but I don't, I don't see things like a movie in my head. Like I've heard some people, I'm so jealous. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, 100%. I think
black hole.
When reading things, I can create like what a character may look like, and it may be totally off from what I was actually, or what it actually is. But like, I think I can create characters, but maybe not so much like the world around the characters. I'm not sure. And I can imagine, you know, the writing process takes you kind of all across different directions and, you know, you grow and develop and write over many years. I'm wondering what you have learned about yourself through being an author.
Oh, everything. I learned so much about myself. On like a sort of practical level, just the way that I work and get things done has been like kind of a revelation to me. Turns out I need like quite a lot of pressure, otherwise I don't do anything. So that's been interesting to realize about myself, that I can kind of languish along to this certain point and then it's like my brain kicks into gear and I'm like, right, like I'm in the zone, let's go. And that's not something I ever picked up on in my previous life doing corporate jobs, I guess, because I wasn't working around different deadlines. So that's been really interesting, but also, just my whole like worldview, the things that I am capable of achieving, you know, all of that has been a complete revelation to me. Having, you know, I would have never thought I could open a bookstore.
It sounds like it's been quite empowering.
It has been incredibly empowering. It did make me realize that I'm capable of a lot more than I thought I was. And that, you know, just because I have an idea, it doesn't need to stay an idea. Like you can bring these things into reality.
Yeah, because I can imagine there's that element of like, I want to do this thing. But I mean, opening a bookstore to me seems outwardly really overwhelming. And I'm sure there's a lot of different tasks that are required into actually making that a possibility.
There's a lot more moving parts and things than I probably anticipated. I'm glad I didn't do too much research before I dove into it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And, you know, when we were talking, setting this up, part of what you talked about was having struggles postpartum. And I'm wondering how that did change your relationship with writing and creating?
It did. I think after my daughters went, obviously I was so happy because she was, you know, like this baby I've dreamed of. Everything was amazing. And at the same time, I felt like, who am I now? Who am I outside of being this little girl's mum? Like, I really struggled with what the rest of my life kind of looked like, and I didn't like the idea of going back to like a corporate job where I'm working till midnight doing event planning and all this stuff. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, I don't want my life to look like that. So yeah, writing. I mean, I didn't intend for it to be a mm-hmm. career. That was mm-hmm. luck.
Yeah.
And but skill. Yeah.
Well, hopefully a little bit of skill. Yeah. But yeah, it was, yeah, this real silver lining that it put me in this headspace of like, okay, let me reassess what my life looks like and try something different. Mm. And I'm not sure I would have, to be honest, otherwise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. I think something we hear a lot of from a lot of people, like uni students, for example, their life is uni. Mm. And I, you know, when you were talking about not really picking up a book for fun while you were doing that, like so many people can relate to that mm-hmm. because it's really hard to create an identity outside of your like main gig, right? Yeah, so I can imagine totally. That was empowering, you know, going from a mama to wanting to be a mama with something else kind of happening yeah. alongside of that because it's important, right?
Yeah. And yeah. I do think, you know, it's nice to be able to model for my daughter, like look at this. Thing that I've created. Look at this, you know, career that I kind of built off scribbling in my notebook while you were playing in the backyard as a toddler.
Thank you for for resting on me and going to sleep on me. It really gave me time to read my book at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, so cool.
And also what a message of backing yourself and believing in yourself. And I think that's a message that is so hard to find in people's day to day other than like movies or shows. And so it's really powerful too. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I can imagine as well, you know, there is the difference kind of being from creating something as like a hobby versus that becoming into a career and like navigating that balance between doing something for fun and doing something for work.
Totally.
And I'm wondering how you do balance the well-being and recovery aspect of writing and reading mm-hmm. versus doing it as part of your job.
Yeah. There's that old adage, like do something you love and you never work a day in your life. Mm-hmm. And I don't prescribe to that. Anything can become work. I think actually opening the shop, and we do a lot of book clubs at the shop, and that has actually really helped me to enjoy reading again just as a hobby and have it not feel like work. Because for a long time there, it did feel like, oh man, all I do is romance books. And once you start kind of writing for other people and hearing feedback from other people, it's like, okay, those books are not like they're still your own, but they don't 100% belong to you anymore. You put that out into the world.
Mm.
So yeah, actually opening the store has been incredible for that. It has really like reignited my love of just the community aspect of it. Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Community is super important, and building those communities where you feel, you know, that mutual love of something is really important for creating, you know, safety and community and connection. And, you know, a lot of our work is safety is founded in community.
Yeah.
So, I really appreciate that.
Was there anything when you were creating the ink pot and going, okay, I'm going to be having groups of some kind, was there anything in the forefront of your mind of like, this is the kind of community I want to create? Or these are the things that I really need to have embedded into this culture?
I think. So I've been very fortunate to travel to events overseas like romance conventions and things like that. And there was such a stark contrast for me when I was at an in-person event versus what I was seeing on the internet and in online spaces. And the like the love and the positivity in person versus the negative voices that can really rise to the top in that online setting. And I always felt like it would be so nice if we had something like this here. And we are starting to get a few of the bigger signings and things now in New Zealand, which is awesome. But I did think, like, could we do that on a smaller scale just right here at home? Like, I know that when you get these readers of this amazing genre together, they are all excited and they just want to, like, share the books that they loved and talk about these themes. And I just thought, there's an opportunity to do that. Right here.
Yeah, 100%. And you're right, online, the feedback that you can get, I can imagine being quite different to in person because that online element, I guess, means people will be a bit more harsh, more brutal. Like, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. I think that just also gets more engagement, right? Those, like, kind of more vicious hot takes. They go viral and then it can be quite easy to be like, this is all there is. This is all anyone is thinking. And that's not at all the case when you actually talk to people.
I can imagine that receiving feedback or people being harsh or whatever, because I know, like, you know, Goodreads, for example, and people like rating books, for example, I can imagine it can be hard to back yourself and believe yourself alongside this negative kind of
yeah.
feedback that you're receiving and amongst all the positive feedback too, yeah. right?
I don't go on Goodreads. So yeah. Like, yeah. yeah.
Protect your peace.
Exactly. Yeah. There's like, you definitely have to get like a thicker skin when you do anything that
yeah.
you're receiving
anything creative.
Feedback on. Absolutely.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, for my own creative process, yeah. like, you know, I have to, yeah, as you say, protect my peace. Because yeah. if I read a whole bunch of things about how, like, I'm a talentless hack, then I'm not going to want to write another book.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah, we hear that a lot. People who are doing, like, creative, like, go to art school and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's like, you're really being vulnerable putting yourself out there mm-hmm. and putting stuff you've created out there, hey?
Mm. Yeah. yeah. Especially being online is kind of thrives on discourse because it's something that's going to create conversation.
Yeah.
Often that online conversation doesn't really happen if it goes, this is great, I agree.
No.
but we do need to hear more of that.
Yeah. You need that nice balance. And yeah, it's hard if you like put something into a character that is genuinely like personal yeah. to yourself and then you see something like really negative about it, being like, this character's so annoying. I'm like, that's me. So
that's me in that. Yeah.
That's my
yeah,
personality.
100%. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm curious what going to these big romance conventions are like, because I can imagine it's like being at the Inkpot, but like,
yeah, huge scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're so fun. They're yeah. so fun. They are long days, and for us here in New Zealand, they involve a lot of travel yeah. for the most part. I did one in Edinburgh, which was incredible.
Oh, so but, cool.
Yeah, it took 2 days to get there. I was yeah. there for 4 days total, and then I flew back home.
travel the same amount of time as.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was yeah. just like kind of in a daze the whole time, but it was just the nicest people who were just so excited to be there. And a lot of them had traveled from around the world. Mm-hmm. And it was a great opportunity to meet authors who I love and whose work I've fangirled for years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, yeah. That's so nice.
So great.
And good to be in Edinburgh while you're in a daze. So the street names are the same as here.
Yeah.
And yeah,
yeah,
it all kind of similar.
All felt very familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. Oh, that's so cool. And I guess on the topic of, you know, using writing as a means of recovery and the Inkpot as a means of creating community, I'm wondering what you would want other mamas to know who are struggling with creativity, expression, and healing.
I think it's just, it might feel a bit frivolous. I think that's something that I find when I talk to, you know, especially mums who have never done anything kind of creative before and maybe come from, you know, more corporate backgrounds or whatever. And I think it feels silly or like I'm being indulgent with my time or something like that. And like, it's genuinely not. It's so incredible for you. Like, it's such a great way to get to know yourself and especially if you're going through this journey of becoming a parent and everything shifts, like the world looks like a very different place, this is a great way to get to know yourself again, to like read books and be like, that resonates with me or that doesn't. And there's things that I read before becoming a mum that I loved and I read now and I'm like, absolutely not.
Why did I like that in the first place?
Yeah. Exactly. So I think it's, yeah, it's a really nice way to kind of reassess where you stand, and then writing is kind of an extension of that because you're really just sitting and marinating with your thoughts and being like, how do I feel about this? What is my perspective on this? Even if you're writing about, you know, alien romance or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the content doesn't matter as much as the activity itself and the process.
Exactly. You think that can extend to even just like doing crafts and art and that kind of creative expression too, hey? Like, you know, if it feels good for your soul, then it's meaningful.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm sure like when you started doing this, you didn't expect to be here now with your bookshop published and kind of starting off with a, what can I do for myself and find out more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was very much just kind of a self-indulgent challenge, a bit of a New Year's resolution. Like, let's see what happens. Yeah, I did not expect it to become a full-time job.
Super, super cool.
So before we do that, I just want to highlight, I really like the phrase self-indulgence because I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
No.
It is a thing like, what can we do for ourselves to fill up our cup to help others or to be there for others or just be in the world? But we need those self-indulgences to be able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing. Great. Well, we've got some more questions that we'd love to ask, more so related to the opening of the Inkpot and kind of the community behind the scenes there. Before we do so, we'll jump to a quick ad break from our sponsor.
Looking for a change in workplace or seeking a team member who truly fits your culture? At Platinum Recruitment, we believe people come first. That's why we take the time to understand not just skills, but values and what success really means for you. As proud sponsors of the Hope Centre podcast, we're committed to supporting healthier workplaces and stronger communities. Whether you're hiring or ready to take your next step, talk to Platinum Recruitment. Visit platinumrecruitment.co.nz and find the right fit today.
It's gone for gold, it's gone for platinum. It's the best recruitment out there, Platinum Recruitment.
That
thank you
really
so much.
Bad.
I meant to do bronze, silver, gold, platinum, and then panicked.
Okay. Next time.
Next time. If you hear it again next time, no, let us know your feedback at admin@lifematters.org.nz.
Good stuff. It's welcome back to Hope Centre podcast. Again, we're continuing on our conversation with Colette about writing, being an author, creating community. I think that's super cool. I know we've talked a wee bit about the Inkpot previously, wanting to know a little bit about behind the scenes of opening the Inkpot and kind of what that's been like over the recent few months of its opening and fruition in the Dunedin community.
It's been so amazing. It was kind of a idea. I was kind of bouncing back and forth with my husband. I talked a little bit about, like, wouldn't it be cool to open a bookstore? Mm. There's a lot of independent romance bookstores popping up around the world.
Mm. Yes. Not enough in Dunedin.
No. So definitely, you know, I think we're the only one in the South Island at this stage.
Oh.
I'd been kind of chatting about that. And then after writing from home for 5 years, I was really keen to get out of my house. I'm here all the time. I'm looking at the same four walls. Mm-hmm. And I find it really difficult to focus at home. I'm always like, oh, you know, I need to do another load of washing or, you know, get very sidetracked. So I've been thinking, like, maybe I should, like, get an office space of some kind away from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And he really encouraged me. He was like, why don't we just, you know, why don't we do it? Why don't we do the store?
Mm-hmm.
You can write in the store. And that was kind of like the worst case scenario was that it was just basically a very elaborate office space.
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes people would come and buy books.
Yeah.
And like hopefully it would cover its own like rent and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely exceeded our expectations, mm-hmm. which is very exciting. I think there was a lot more demand than we realized.
Yeah. It's probably, I feel like reading has picked up like traction over time,
mm-hmm.
and reconnecting with that, like probably since COVID. But yeah, I like totally. Remember being in high school and it wasn't like cool or fun to read when you were in high school. But I feel like as, you know, kind of gotten older and kind of life has changed, it has become more integrated in a lot of people's lives. So I imagine it's probably quite a good time to be opening something like this that may have not really had a time or place or picked up as well.
Yeah.
Previously.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. I mean, romance as a genre has existed for eons, but it's never been as openly discussed and accepted and, you know, legitimate, whether I say in quote marks, within, you know, the literary world or just as a wider hobby. You know, it was always like something that, grandma bought those books
classics
at the grocery store or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't the behemoth that it is today.
Yeah. Why do you think that is, that it's picked up as much as it has?
I mean, it definitely, there was like a huge online movement around the BookTok experience and things over lockdowns. Mm. But yeah, I also think, I don't know, a lot of like my generation grew up with your sort of Harry Potters and whatever, and that translated into like, I want to still read fantasy books as an adult.
Yeah.
What is out there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also how, you know, having different interests too. So how do those fantasy books change over time?
Yeah.
Or less about how they change your time, but how what we are wanting now that we're older too.
And I mean, there's also the massive boom in indie publishing, right? That's a huge part of it. Is the genre was no longer being sort of gatekept by your traditional publishing houses. People were kind of putting out what you would have maybe only read in fanfic. You will now be able to buy just on the shelves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, like, I mean, the difference for me when I was like reading prior to starting uni and then when I came back to it as an adult and I was like, where did these books come? These books were not around before.
Yeah. It's changed.
Yeah. The landscape has changed a lot and there's just, a lot of demand for these kind of books.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as you said before, Inkpot's the only independent romance bookstore on the South Island.
As far as I know.
Wild.
Yeah.
You know, did you realise you were filling such a niche or did you realise you were less of a niche but a need?
Not really. Like I had seen them, you know, doing well in other places and I thought there would be, one of the things when I moved to Dunedin 4 years ago was that I did find it quite difficult to meet people,
especially,
you know, just the age and stage I am in life. School age child, I'm not going to like play groups or anything anymore. And it's like, how do I, how do I meet people? Like, what is on for the people in my age and like women my age? So I did think when we opened the store, like book clubs could be really cool. That could be a really great way for people to meet in like a low stakes kind of environment where it's like you can contribute as much or as little as you want. There's someone kind of facilitating. It's not kind of on you to provide the conversation. So I did think that there was a demand for stuff to do. I didn't anticipate the demand for just the romance books in general.
Do you find that in those group spaces, whether it be book clubs or events that you're holding, that there is that mix of, you know, some people giving a lot and some people kind of sitting there and being and that being okay?
Yeah, like, 100%. There's definitely people who are happier to talk and people who are just happier to listen, and that's so wonderful. And I've also noticed people come along to a few and kind of warm up, build their confidence, and then, you know, are offering opinions like more readily and things, which is like so wonderful to see, right? Watching them feel more at ease with the space and the environment and feeling confident to vocalize what they're thinking.
Which is super cute. I can imagine this like proud mum, like, look at you.
Look
at you going.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best.
That's so cute.
And there's something that I come across a lot in talking to a lot of my tangata whaiora is wanting to join groups like this, or groups in general, but feeling very nervous. They might struggle to make friends or have joined groups before and it has gone poorly for them. What is important for you when creating groups to make a group feel safe?
I think a big thing, like even I have felt when I'm trying to like look for book clubs and stuff in the past, is it feels like kind of everybody is coming in as individuals. And so I think it's nice to be able to have some kind of facilitation happening, just so some people feel like, okay, I have like a person that I can turn to if I feel nervous or whatever. And so, you know, I'm pretty good now identifying who hasn't been before. And so it gives me an opportunity to kind of talk to them one-on-one and kind of bring them in, so it makes them feel like, okay, well, there's at least one person that I know I can talk to directly. And I think that just helps with people who feel shy or nervous. Certainly helps me when I'm in those situations.
Definitely having those comfort people, I think, can help. All those people you know that you can kind of gravitate towards too is really important, because I know for me that is something I find intimidating about group spaces, or thinking about attending group spaces, is like, who am I going to have? Like, I'm going to be alone and I'm not going to know what to say, but it sounds like that, you know, you're trying to take the pressure off that.
I think it feels more like you're inviting somebody in rather than asking them to breach that that distance themselves, which I think is helpful.
I'm curious what, like, if you have a book club running in an evening, what does that look like?
It's really great. So people sort of come in around 6 o'clock. We usually do evening ones, and we set up some like drinks and snacks and things. We set up a little seating area. And yeah, at this point, there are a lot of familiar faces, so people are kind of chatting beforehand and things. And then, like, I'll do a bit of a, let's go around the group, say your name, just roughly what you thought of the book. And for some people, that might be the only thing that they feel comfortable contributing over the course of the evening, and that's fine. That's totally fine. But then, yeah, we'll just kind of bounce off each other. I do have a list of questions in the back of my mind, just in case we have some lulls. But for the most part, we get a really great, like, banter going and really good rapport. And it's so nice to be in a room full of people where someone's been like, oh, I've read this really obscure book, and at least one other person there has also read it. Where else would you find that? It's so lovely.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think especially seeing the intentionality to this, that it's not just a let's have a group and mess around and find out. There's I want people to be coming along to create community and feel safe. And I think that, shows the amount of thought that you've put into this, which is really cool.
Yeah, awesome. And as you said, there's not a lot of spaces where people can come together in this way. And I'm wondering what role you think that physical community spaces play in people's well-being, and what have you learned from people's need of community through ThinkPot?
It's so huge. I really think we're feeling the loss of those third spaces now. Yeah, I didn't even, like, I knew this was something I wanted for myself, but mm-hmm. I don't think I anticipated how much other people were also looking for that, mm-hmm. especially because I'm like, well, I'm an outsider, right? I moved to Dunedin, so presumably mm-hmm. people who have grown up here, lived here their whole life, they already have these connections, like, they're not going to, mm-hmm. it's not going to be as important to them. But no, 100%, that wasn't the case. It was people from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of new mums, and this yeah. is like, night out, my first time away from the baby, yeah. like I want to do something for myself. People, you know, yeah. who like work night shifts, they come along mm. before they go to work. Like, mm-hmm.
that's
great.
That's yeah. super cool.
Yeah, yeah. Such a cool group of people. And they're just so excited to have somewhere to go, right? Every time mm-hmm. we put any event up on the website, it's immediately we're getting people like, yes, I'll come along, whatever it is, craft nights, like mm-hmm. book launches, book clubs. Yes, like mm. that's nice to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. It's really nice.
Yeah. Do you find a lot of people come alone and then make community there?
Yeah, I think probably awesome. The majority of people who come to book clubs are coming by themselves. Mm-hmm. One of the coolest things I have seen is people like, they follow each other on Instagram during book club. Yeah, yes. And then they like show up together next time. Yes. Like, yes. I feel like a matchmaker.
That's so yeah. sweet. We have just started rerunning a craft group in our space yeah. and last time when we were walking back from the podcast, we saw two people from that hanging out together on the street, and like our hearts.
We were fanning about it.
It's such a warm feeling to know that you are able to create those spaces for people to actually do that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't have it.
Yeah. When you see people, you know, they're in very different stages of life and mm-hmm. very different careers and everything. It's like, you guys might not have crossed paths like in kind of any other environment. So how cool is it?
Yeah, 100%. And for adults as well, mm-hmm. I know that those opportunities are a lot more, there's a lot more of those opportunities as younger people. Mm. So creating those spaces for adults is really important.
Yeah.
I think much more structured for younger people.
Yeah.
In terms of school or after school activities.
Yeah, exactly.
After work activities are hard.
Yeah.
What have you noticed about, you know, like the energy in the room when people are sharing stories and ideas?
So great. It's just really fun because people have different opinions, right? Books are very mm-hmm. subjective.
Mm.
And there's never a time where I've picked a book where everyone has been like, I love that. Like, there's always going to be, you know, just two voices or whatever. Or sometimes I've picked a book and I've been like, man, I really hated this. Like, this is going to be a hard one. But it's never mean-spirited. Mm. Like, it's always a really lovely, positive conversation, mm-hmm. even if we're sharing the things that we didn't necessarily enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's never like in a, I don't know, dismissive kind of way. It's just always like,
it's never this book is definitively bad.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, exactly. No, everybody's got different perspectives on these things. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to hear that they can coexist in that space and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's really great to be like, okay, well, here's some things that you liked about it. Does anyone have any recommendations like along those lines for somebody else? And, you know, that kind of generates
recommendations
a lot of discussion.
Bouncing off each other.
Yeah, and you're never going to get like a better book recommendation than you would like in a book club full of people who read this genre who are like, yes, like.
Yeah.
Here's 10 books that I love.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Have you found as well, like a partner a lot, you know, for Spotify, I think you only get, 12 hours of audiobook listening, is it?
Yeah.
A month? Yeah. You find like people going, getting more into finding other ways of listening to books, if reading isn't a strength?
I mean, we not to like plug our own services, but yeah.
Please plug. Yeah.
We do partner or collaborate, whatever, with Libro FM, who do offer audiobooks through independent bookstores.
Nice.
So it's an alternative to people who don't want to give money to big corporations. They can purchase their audiobooks through there, and then the Inkpot benefits from that as well, which is always nice.
Where was that again?
It's Libro FM. There's a link on our website under audiobooks.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Amazing. Yeah. Accessibility is important.
Yeah.
Hey? Yeah.
I think I'm a bad reader, partly because of the world building stuff and because I don't see anything. And so I think that's hard, but also concentration wise and finding time wise.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something that I prioritize. But I do prioritize listening, and so I listen to audiobooks quite a lot.
Yeah.
Not as much as I used to. Probably more podcasts at the moment, but ebbs and flows of things, right? But it's so good to know that there's also a possibility of audiobooks.
Yeah.
Do you narrate your own books?
No.
Absolutely not. Even listening to professionals narrate my own books is an absolutely excruciating experience. Hearing your own words read back to you.
100%. And like when I listen to an audiobook, I'm not listening to it to one time speed. Like it's at least two times speed.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can imagine somebody sitting there. I imagine they do it over the course of days or weeks, right? Yeah. But yeah, I can imagine it's a hard task being an audiobook narrator.
I could never do it. I'd laugh the whole time.
Yeah.
Stutter over my words. Yeah. Pretty good at that one.
Sometimes if they do an accent of a character, do you go, that's not what they sound like?
Well, actually, previously I've written a lot of American characters, partly for that reason, right? Mm. Is it's easier to get American narrators. True. But the series I'm working on presently is all New Zealanders and Australians, so we shall see how that ends up with audio.
Oh, cool. And I can imagine like the overseas, like UK, US might be like, because don't they love like New Zealand accents? And then we'll be like, oh, like what's that doing there?
What does that word mean?
Yeah. What are they saying? Yeah.
It was something my brother did. This was pre-COVID, but kind of sounds similar of, so he used to be very deep in theatre and some of his flatmates at the time they still are big into theatre. And they just went, what happens if in 100 days we just book a theatre and we just write a show and perform a show in 100 days?
Yeah.
And they did that exact thing of, let's have it. So it's a musical.
Yeah.
So they booked the theatre, then 100 days from then, well, in that 100 days wrote, rehearsed, performed it, but did it all in New Zealand accents. So even the singing as well was in New Zealand accents.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has since moved to New York. And they've recently, I don't know if it was the show itself or just a showcase of songs.
Yeah.
And apparently very funny, just the New Zealand accents happening in there.
Yeah.
Or even have to teach people to sing in a New Zealand accent as well. Because even teaching New Zealanders to sing in a New Zealand accent is hard, because we often just imitate what we've heard.
Just default to like an American-esque kind of thing.
But keeping the nasaliness.
Yeah.
It's a hard one to emulate.
Yeah,
100%. I know we kind of touched on this in talking about like people making connections and friends through the book clubs, but I'm wondering generally what have you observed at book clubs that have given you hope?
I mean, just the fact that people are willing to come out month after month, week after week. I thought that they would maybe die down a little bit over winter.
Yep.
You know, it's cold, it's dark, nobody wants to leave the house. But no, they're still like, they're selling out, they're doing really well. So just kind of the eagerness for people to put themselves out there and come to, you know, a physical space to sit around and talk about books. Like, yeah, it's really blown me away. The first month they did really well and I was like, oh, there's the novelty factor though, right? Yeah. Like, is this going to continue? And the fact that it has has, yeah, been incredible.
Yeah, and I guess it's only in its kind of like, because you only opened this year, and I guess it's only in its like early stages.
Yeah.
So there's so much potential for, you know, time and what could possibly
what
happen.
What could happen, but, yeah. And we're working a lot now with like different local creatives on like craft activities and getting other people to come in and like, you know, let's do a potion making night.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I sent that to Omri.
Yeah.
So I thought his partner would be into it.
Very keen,
let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. And I've seen that you've done lots of other crafty kind of stuff. How did that kind of element come into planning?
I mean, I think books and crafts really like go nicely together.
Yeah.
I was a little bit hesitant at first because we were in a very small space. So I was like, how can we make this work? But the first one we did with Cauldron and Cog, which was the potion making, was fantastic. And it means we have smaller numbers, but it's still just like a nice size group where you can all actually sit around and talk to each other and things like that. We're doing another one at Halloween. So
great.
It'll be really exciting.
Yeah.
A Twilight themed.
Yes.
Which is my partner's favourite holiday.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Americans.
Get her into it.
Yeah.
And it's super cool. And as you said, like you may expect it's going to die down over winter, but I think in reality that's probably like maybe sometimes people's only time leaving the house in a day, in a week or whatever, which is, really important.
The time that people might need it the most.
Yeah, 100%.
What do you think has been helpful with that? I don't know if you'd describe it as sustainability, but that continual engagement over time.
How do you mean, sorry?
Like you were saying, kind of expected it to drop off after the novelty, but it sounds like it's not dropping off.
No.
And so, what's helpful?
I mean, I think that's just 100% down to the people.
Yeah.
Like, the people who come absolutely make the groove. They make the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. The environment is so lovely. And so I think, yeah, people are like, I'll come again. And sometimes they come and they're like, this isn't even really a genre I would usually read, but like, you know.
I want to be involved.
Yeah, exactly. It's just fun. Like, it's just a fun evening out. And there's a lot of people who come along as well who are very unfamiliar with romance. Mm-hmm. And our book clubs, they have different themes or different subgenres of romance. So like a cool opportunity for them to like explore.
Dip their toes in something else.
Yeah, I didn't love this, but this one really connected for me.
Yeah, nice. Mm-hmm.
Super cool. Great. We've got a few more questions that we'd like to touch on, but again, before we do so, we'll hear from our lovely sponsor.
Looking for a change in workplace or seeking a team member who truly fits your culture? At Platinum Recruitment, we believe people come first. That's why we take the time to understand not just skills, but values and what success really means for you. As proud sponsors of the Hope Centre podcast, we're committed to supporting healthier workplaces and stronger communities. Whether you're hiring or ready to take your next step, talk to Platinum Recruitment. Visit platinumrecruitment.co.nz and find the right fit today.
Let's get recruiting.
Oh, Omri, come on now.
that one was a panic look between me and Anna of like, oh, we didn't see he was coming back.
Yeah, too busy talking.
But no, thank you very much, Platinum Recruitment. Yeah. Sometimes you drive past me when I'm walking home and I wonder if you know who I am.
Yeah, we're busy chatting about background kind of things and saying like 55 minutes of podcasting feels like a long time, but then when you're actually in it, it goes by so quickly. And that's generally down to having really interesting conversations. And I want to thank you, Colette, for joining us today. As I said, I've been pretty excited for this one, and it's just been nice to connect with you, learn a wee bit more about what you're doing.
I remember when we first emailed you, and then when we got the response and Anna's reaction, and it was all very exciting.
Yeah, I feel like we've touched on a wide variety of topics, and Omri had his
focus,
geek out moment with somebody from overseas that makes NFL content.
College American football.
College American football. Cool.
CBF.
Yeah. And this was my equivalent. Yay. So, yeah, I appreciate you being here.
Oh, I'm very glad to be here.
Yeah. I'm wondering, before we wrap up, if you've got any final thoughts or messages that you'd like to share for someone who might be listening and might be struggling.
Yeah. A quote that always stuck in my mind on my hardest days is from Victor Hugo from Les Miserables. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. And that always really stuck with me, is like, it's going to get better. Like, this is not going to be the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Do you have a favourite version of Les Mis?
I don't remember what it's called. Is it the 10th anniversary recording? That's the one that I always listen to.
Yeah. I'm a 25th anniversary boy. With the one with Nick Jonas.
No, not that one. Definitely the 10th anniversary.
Fair enough. Cool. Would you like to introduce the final five?
Yes. So, yeah, final five is a quick fire questions.
Sure.
With the last question being leaving a question for the next guest.
Yeah.
So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Perfect. When do you feel most like yourself?
I think just hanging out at home with my family and my dog, reading books. Like, yeah.
Just very relaxed. Kind of dog is it? And what's the dog's name?
His name is Henry. Oh. He is a Spaniel.
Oh, sweet. What is one thing you romanticize in everyday life?
This is probably really random, but cleaning the bookshop. There's something about, because I mean the aesthetic of the Inkpod is very like a traditional bookstore. We've got the big rolling ladder and the high shelves, and I don't know, there's something about it that makes me feel like I'm like a steward of literature or something.
Fairy godmother.
Dusting all these shelves, which are MDF and definitely not traditional wood or anything like that.
But, you know, I can
dream. Yeah,
it doesn't matter what's on the inside. Yeah.
The vibes are of an old oak.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is the rolling ladder staff only?
It is, yeah. It's very high. The shelf is 4 meters high, so it's,
Catch Anna applying for a job. Yeah. What's your favourite way to use a Sunday?
I mean, reading books, for sure. Just curling up in front of the fire. I definitely have to like keep on a strict reading schedule now with my book club books. Mm. So it's really nice if I can.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're a fast reader though, so I can imagine reader. You can keep up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes, you know, not necessarily a book that I would have chosen based on my mood, but I'm like, well, I have to read it because it's book club. So
Yeah. Do you think that influences how much you enjoy it?
It does and it doesn't. I think there's been times where I'm like, I wouldn't have finished this book if I wasn't reading it for book club. And then by the end of it, like, I actually really enjoyed it. So, you know, it's made me question, like, do I tap out of things too early? Maybe I need to really, like, give things a longer chance.
Yeah. Cool. Is it your turn?
Nope.
Oh. what would you tell your younger self now?
I think I would tell her that you are capable of so much more than you think you're capable of.
Mm.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't have been able to imagine any of this for myself when I was, you know, in high school or at university or whatever. Dream big.
I can imagine, you know, talking about how writing kind of came into your life. You may have not imagined that you'd ever be an author.
No, not at all. And it was always like, if you could do any job, what would your dream job be? And I was just like, I'd love to be a writer. But it never actually occurred to me to, like, do it. I was like, well, I'm not, like, talented enough for that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely the advice I would give her.
Super nice. Cool.
And can you please leave a question for the next guest?
What was your last 5-star read?
Mm.
Very on brand.
Very on brand.
Yeah. Do you have anything, Anna?
Oh, you're making me feel shy. Do you have anything on brand?
Honestly, I think my last 5-star read was, I think I've talked about this on the pod before, but The Boy Who Was Raised as a Dog.
I don't know what that is.
It was written by Dr. Perry Mason, but he was the doctor or the clinical psychologist for the children coming out of Waco, Texas.
Ah.
Yeah. And so every chapter is a different case study or different people that he's worked with.
Yeah.
Awful read in terms of some of the things that people have been through specifically at Waco.
Yeah.
And the title also being a boy who was raised as a dog. It was the guy who was raising him just didn't know how to raise children. It wasn't intentionally abuse. It was just knew how to raise dogs really well. And so that's what he knew.
Wow.
But the impacts on that boy were huge. So I think that was probably my last 5-star read in terms of what I've learned.
Yeah.
And although not a fun read, it's educational.
Fun. It's not fun. It's so awful, but I love it.
Yeah, very educational. Yeah. And I love science.
Yeah. That's fair. Good stuff.
Yeah.
A final thank you to you, Colette, for joining us today. It's been really fun.
Also, do you have a last 5-star read?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
I'm currently reading The Night and the Moth by Rachel Gillig, and I'm absolutely loving it. It's really, really great. For people who might think, like, I'm not sure about romance novels. I like fantasy, but I don't know about romantasy. This would be a really great entry point. It's probably more fantasy than romance.
Mm-hmm.
But fantastic book. Yeah, really.
Great.
Cool. Yeah. A final thank you for joining us again. I've really enjoyed the conversation, and it's nice to leave the space feeling inspired and, like, with a lot of new knowledge, which is super cool.
Yeah.
Thank you to Omri for co-hosting yet again.
Thanks, Anna.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you to ORFM, to Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust, and Platinum Recruitment for sponsoring this podcast. Again, if you have any ideas for the podcast or wish to be a guest, please reach out to us on admin@lifematters.org.nz. See you later.
Ka kite.
Thanks for listening. The most important message we can leave you with today is that it's okay to ask for help and support. You can contact Life Matters on 027 240 0114 by phone or text, or send us a message on our Facebook page.
To see our current opening hours, just look up lifematters.org.nz. If you need support outside of these hours, free call or text 1737. If you would like to listen again or hear other episodes, go to oar.org.nz or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.